C3 Radio aus dem Zentrum für internationale Entwicklung. Am 24. September 2019 hat im C3 Zentrum für internationale Entwicklung ein Expertinnen-Workshop zum folgenden Thema stattgefunden: Importförderung als Instrument der Entwicklungszusammenarbeit, Potenziale und Herausforderungen für die österreichische Entwicklungszusammenarbeit. Ich war für C3 Radio dabei und berichte in unserer heutigen Sendung über den Workshop. Es begrüßt Sie Jürgen Planck. Der Hintergrund zum Workshop-Thema ist durch zwei Entwicklungen ausgestaltet. In den letzten Jahren ist die Einfuhrförderung in vielen Programmen der EU-Entwicklungszusammenarbeit zu einer neuen Säule der Entwicklungsaktivitäten des Privatsektors geworden. Die Importförderung wird als ein Weg gesehen, nachhaltige Beschaffungsketten für EU-Unternehmen aufzubauen und gleichzeitig die Exportindustrien in den Ländern des Südens zu fördern. Zum anderen befindet sich Äthiopien gerade in einer wirtschaftlichen Boomphase. Nicht zuletzt mit chinesischem Geld wird in der Hauptstadt Addis Abeba viel an Verkehrs- und Gebäudeinfrastruktur gebaut. Und die Lederindustrie, die zwar noch immer im Aufbau ist, erlebt dennoch einen Aufschwung. Schon im Jahr 1998 hat die äthiopische Regierung in einer Exportförderungsstrategie die Lederindustrie als einen strategischen Sektor für die Förderung von Exporten und Devisen, Einkommen und Beschäftigung erkannt. Aufgrund der Arbeitsintensität und des äthiopischen Vorteils im Hinblick auf die Verfügbarkeit von rohen Häuten und Fellen und aufgrund niedriger Arbeitskosten. Von europäischer Seite gibt es seit Jahrzehnten Bemühungen, die Exporte aus Entwicklungsländern in die EU zu fördern, nicht zuletzt um die Versorgung der EU-Länder mit Rohstoffen und Ähnlichem sicherzustellen. Während andere europäische Länder wie die Niederlande, die Schweiz oder Norwegen im Rahmen ihrer Entwicklungszusammenarbeit bereits Importförderungsagenturen eingerichtet haben, befindet sich die Diskussion in Österreich erst in einem sehr frühen Stadium. Das Center for the Promotion of Imports from Developing Countries, kurz CBI, wurde im Jahr 1971 gegründet. Seit damals unterstützt es Unternehmen aus den sogenannten Entwicklungsländern dabei, ihre Produkte nach Europa zu exportieren. Zudem veröffentlicht das CBI jedes Jahr rund 300 Marktstudien. Auf www.cbi.eu ist zu lesen: It is our belief that trade is a good means to stimulate economic growth and promote employment. By supporting small and medium-sized enterprises, SMEs, in developing countries entering the European market, we promote the integration of these countries in global value chains. Zitat Ende. Deshalb bietet das CBI auch Coachings für außereuropäische Klein- und Mittelbetriebe, die diese fit für den Export ihrer Produkte machen sollen. Das CBI ist zurzeit in rund 35 Ländern aktiv und bindet stets verschiedenste Stakeholder ein, von den Betrieben bis zu den Regierungen und internationalen sowie Wirtschaftsorganisationen. Das CBI ist eine Dienststelle des Außenministeriums der Niederlande mit Sitz in Rotterdam. Eine ähnliche Organisation namens Import Promotion Desk gibt es auch in Deutschland. Im Jahr 2016 haben der Österreichische Handelsverband und die Austrian Development Agency ADA ein Pilotprojekt zur Importinformation namens Import Information Hub Austria gestartet. Gunter Schall, Referatsleiter Wirtschaft und Entwicklung bei der Austrian Development Agency, der in dieser Sendung noch zu Wort kommen wird, hat damals gesagt, Zitat: Das Import Information Hub Austria hat eine klare entwicklungspolitische Zielsetzung. Es unterstützt unsere Partnerländer bei der Stärkung nachhaltiger Wirtschaftsstrukturen und fairem Handel, die Einhaltung von Gesetzen und Standards, unternehmerische Verantwortung und die Schaffung von Arbeitsplätzen sind maßgeblich für die Auswahl unserer Lieferanten. Zitat Ende. Beim Expertinnen-Workshop am 24. September 2019 waren neben Gunter Schall unter anderem dabei Jan Grumiller und Werner Ratzer von der ÖFSE, die zum Thema Lederindustrie in Äthiopien geforscht haben, sowie Wondu Leches-Gisav. Er ist der Projektkoordinator der Leather Initiative for Sustainable Employment Creation in Addis Abeba. Mit ihm habe ich ein Interview geführt.
Laser and laser products, the industry strategy is emanates out from the Ethiopian manufacturing strategy. As any strategy is developed, first it is drafted by expert groups from who have very good experience in just crafting the strategy and also the field, and then present this to the public and also to different stakeholders. And the involvement of stakeholders is already there and for both strategies. That is the first strategy in 2002 and also in 2013. In both the private sector and the different stakeholders, that means universities, higher institutes, and factory owners, private sector, and in terms of their association and also individual participation, and the institutes in the field are participated.
Ethiopia is, economically speaking, growing very fast. How many people would work in the leather industry, and how are wages within this industry?
In the leather sector, the development is, when you compare with other African countries, and the development is already there because we are rich in getting the raw material sources when you compare with others, and because we have a raw material base, the source is for the leather sector materials are the animals, and but that doesn't mean that we are getting enough or we are sourcing enough amount of the raw materials with quality, and problems is there because we have no many meat industries in the country. So the meat industries are coming for the last 10-15 years, but it is slowly growing. But in terms of the leather sector, now previously, before the policy change of the value addition, and the workers are below 20,000 workers are involved in that, and now they reach to about 46,000 who are involving in this one, and this is officially counted. And there are very small micro and small levels, and who are not getting we are not getting the right number for this, but a lot of people also involved in there, and but the official count was 46,000. But when you see about the wages of the workers, they are not highly paid, because even to pay sometimes for the investor, and we have to, the workers have to be more productive and more competitive, and the productivity level at the present is low, but it's growing, and the factories who manage it and who have a clear system, and they reach even up to 80% of the productivity level of that of the one who have a great productivity in Asia. But the one also they manage is the productivity level is low. The productivity is not always related with the workers. It's related with the system of the company, the management of the company, and the resource allocation, and the continuous availability of market. And due to this, in some factories, the productivity level is low, and accordingly, the payment is very low. Actually, they are coming by considering they are getting a very competitive labor price in Ethiopia, but hopefully that will not continue, and the workers have to get enough salary which affords the outside cost. But because the higher costs for the workers are now the living costs and the food and also the shelter. Now some of the investors are building the houses in their compound and also supplying foods and also giving the salary. So in this way, they are improving at this time.
The leather industry is needing a lot of water, so environment is a topic. It's an issue within this industry. How would you discuss this topic according Ethiopia? How about the water waste management and sustainability?
As you mentioned rightly, especially the tannery, the leather production side needs a lot of water. And accordingly, also a lot of waste is generated. Actually, the whole manufacturing sector in the world generates its own waste. And leather is not specific, but the use of water is high when you compare with others. Not only the liquid wastes and the solid wastes also there. So we have to think holistically. We are not just living only, the government of Ethiopia is not living only for the private sector, because the government also has to support, as other European countries and Asian countries has done, to get the solution, even though 100% solution is still in the world is not there. We have to continue in the development, and also at the same time we have to keep our environment. And now every tannery in Ethiopia, they have a treatment plant for the liquid waste, that is primary and secondary treatment plants. And with the support of the government institute and also other development partners, there are cleaner production mechanisms are just introduced to the tanneries at the early stage, but it introduced. What does it mean that? And the chemicals what we use for the production of the tannery has to be environmental friendly, and the impact to the environment has to be low. And the other is the consumption of water. Previously what we have used, we have to decrease. For example, if the percentage of 50-100 liter is used, we have to go down to use to 25-30% 30 liter of water. And by this, by applying all holistically, and also we have to change the solid wastes into wells, and we have to reprocess it. And also in the water, and not only decreasing of the use of the amount of water, and also we have to devise a system or a technology to reuse it in the other processes. So this technology development is already important, and but it needs again an investment. That investment has to come from the private sector and also from the government support, development partners. But what UNIDO, my institute, is working also to support in this regard, in cleaner production and also in the environment safeguard, on environmental, to keep the environment footprint. So this is what we are doing now.
Im Rahmen des Workshops ergreift der vorhin schon angesprochene Gunther Schall das Wort und spricht für die Austrian Development Agency über internationale Wertschöpfungsketten im Kontext mit Entwicklungszusammenarbeit.
First, I would like to give a short overview of how value chain development, and that's what import promotion is about, it's about value chains, how they normally work in development cooperation. Second, I would like to give you a short overview how we work with Austrian private sector on value chain programs, how we engage the Austrian private sector into these kind of projects. And then the key question, what could be a next step, and that's how we approach import promotion. So first of all, traditionally value chain interventions start in the partner country. They aim at stimulating economic growth and particularly job creation. But also they try to enhance environmental and social performance. So for example, we have lots of projects focusing on organic agriculture. The development cooperation, for this reason, it's very much important for us to include marginalized groups like the rural poor, women, etc., etc. So these are the main targets of development cooperation in the traditional value chain projects. Those projects are mainly supply-driven programs, and they do have a clear focus on the target groups and their needs. So that's an upside of this type of projects. But of course there is a downside as well, and this downside is that they sometimes fall short in identifying the market opportunities. So meeting the specific demands, specifically when it comes to the demand for international markets. And these kind of projects also fall short in engaging the private sector to support the project logic. And private sector engagement is one of the main aims or main means of implementation in the Agenda 2030. Development cooperation is asked to engage the private sector into the traditional programs. So in this regard, we are searching for new ways how we can implement the traditional forms of programs.
Zu den Aufgaben von IPOs sagt Krumiller.
So what is the role of IPOs in development? We already heard a little bit from Gunter Schals, but I will have this introduction rather short. From a general and historical perspective, we can say that input promotion has become an important pillar of private sector development activities since the 1970s. And the main goal of IPOs is basically to create a win-win situation for exporting and importing companies or actors. Most importantly, through the building up of sustainable sourcing chains for importing firms on the one hand and promoting exports of low-income countries and firms on the other hand, obviously. The role of IPOs gained in importance, as we already heard, with the emergence of global value chains, which basically can serve as a potential stepping stone for low-income countries to integrate in the in the global economy and promote exports. And exporting and integrating the global economy, of course, may be potential because it drives learning. It has the potential to relax the balance of payments constraint, which is a key problem for peripheral countries. And it may be also benefit the diversification of exports to increase high value added exports and also reduce income volatility. For example, because the price for processed coffee is less volatile compared to cocoa.
So Gunter Schall von der ADA. Jan Krumiller und Werner Ratzer haben ein aktuelles ÖFSE Research Paper zu den Exportpotenzialen der äthiopischen Lederindustrie nach Europa und Österreich erstellt und im Rahmen des Workshops präsentiert. Wie wichtig die Wertschöpfungskette bei Leder und Lederprodukten, kurz LLP, auch für die EU ist, zeigt das folgende Zitat aus dem Working Paper. Es trägt den Titel The Ethiopian Leather and Leather Products Sector, an Assessment of Export Potentials to Europe and Austria. Zitat: The EU remains an important player in the global leather trade as both an importer and an exporter of leather and leather products. According to the EU Commission, the leather and related goods sector comprises about 36,000 enterprises and generates a turnover of 48 billion euros, employing around 435,000 people. Total EU imports of LLP have increased in the last two decades, particularly those of leather products and footwear. The dynamics of EU imports were similar to the global trends discussed in the previous chapter, highlighting the continuing strong growth of leather products imports. Despite limited growth in most product segments, EU imports of leather remained substantial for supporting European producers of different leather products in their quest to maintain a significant manufacturing sector. Zitat Ende. Studienkoautor Jan Krumiller sagt im Rahmen des Workshops über IPOs, Import Promotion Organizations.
So these are examples of typical activities of export promotion agencies in this box, which includes providing services such as giving export information and market research for exporting firms. They give production support, for example, technical assistance and capacity building. Support in marketing, financial support and guarantees and so on. These are all pressing issues, of course, in low-income countries. And they're also engaged in country image building. So these are also activities that IPOs may do to some extent. So there are overlaps, but we would argue that IPOs have certain strength and potential advantages compared to export promotion agencies, so there are a lot of complementary activities that IPOs can do, even though in the case where there an export promotion agency exists in a low-income country. They have better market intelligence, IPOs, in the importing countries. Since they're located in the importing country, they know the market better than export promotion agencies. They also have better knowledge about the buyer requirements. So here they can obviously play a key role in providing this information that exporting firms and actors need.
So Jan Grumiller. Aus Berlin ist Frank Maul zum Workshop angereist. Er arbeitet für Import Promotion Desk, kurz IPD. Er sagt über grundsätzliche Ziele von IPD.
We want to support producers in our partner countries to export to Europe and to have long-term sustainable relationship. This in the end is the ultimate goal. And this is also why we focus on added value products. We focus on companies that are dedicated to CSR. That also matches the demand side, because that is becoming more and more important for the importers. In the timber sector, for example, there's also legal requirements that importers have to fulfill. The European timber trade regulation that requires importers for any timber product that they place on the European market to ensure, to have a due diligence system that makes sure that the timber products that they buy and sell in Europe comes from legal sources. And this has become quite strict. So importers, they have a genuine interest also to find suppliers that meet these requirements.
Damit noch einmal zu Wondo Leszczewski-Saf. Er ist der Projektkoordinator der Leather Initiative for Sustainable Employment Creation in Addis Abeba, Ethiopian.
China is already a player within African economy, of course. Is it also joint ventures with Chinese companies that take place in Ethiopia within the leather industry?
China is playing a greater role in our country, in Ethiopia. As any government, we have a very good relation with a Chinese government. And actually, there is no any joint venture company, as I have an information till now. All tanneries, what they have, is owned only by themselves. The Ethiopian government has a rule, and after some time, the number of the workers what you involved in the production system, more than 90-95% has to be occupied by Ethiopians, even the production supervisors, production managers, and also the workers, not only the low level of workers, but the high level of workers has to be occupied. With this only, the government believes that the technology transfer will be happened. For that, many Ethiopians are working, but still some resistances, specifically for the higher position, for the production, some resistances are there. But according to my evaluation, this is on the way of improving, but it needs work from the government side and also the Chinese side. As I told you, there is no any joint venture. It's fully owned by Chinese.
Sagt Wondo Leszczewski-Saf von der Äthiopischen Lederinitiative für nachhaltige Entwicklung, kurz LISEC. Er war beim Expertinnen-Workshop dabei, der am 24. September 2019 im C3 zum folgenden Thema stattgefunden hat. Importförderung als Instrument der Entwicklungszusammenarbeit. Potenziale und Herausforderungen für die österreichische Entwicklungszusammenarbeit. Abschließende Hinweise. Der Research Report, The Ethiopian Leather and Leather Products Sector, An Assessment of Export Potentials to Europe and Austria von Jan Grumiller und Werner Ratzer kann auf www.ofse.at abgerufen werden. Dort kann man auch das Working Paper von Jan Grumiller herunterladen. A Strategic Relational Approach to Analyzing Industrial Policy Regimes Within Global Production Networks, The Ethiopian Leather and Leather Products Sector. Und am 19. März 2020 findet im C3 die folgende Veranstaltung statt: The Role of Cities in Determining the World's Future. Diese Veranstaltung beginnt um 18 Uhr. Am 31. März 2020 wird ein Buch im C3 präsentiert. Es trägt den Titel Feministische Theorie aus Afrika, Asien und Lateinamerika. Veranstaltungsbeginn ist 19 Uhr. Und auch heuer wird der C3 Award vergeben. Das ist ein entwicklungspolitischer Preis für vorwissenschaftliche und andere Abschlussarbeiten, die sich mit entwicklungspolitischen Themen befassen. Für Recherchen zu diesen Themen kann man natürlich auch die C3-Bibliothek benutzen. Einreichfrist für den C3 Award ist der 30. April 2020. Alle Informationen zu Veranstaltungen und bezüglich Einreichungen für den C3 Award finden Sie auf www.zentrum3.at. C3 Radio gibt es wieder in einem Monat und jederzeit als Podcast auf c3radio.potspot.de. Wir sind wie die Öfse auch auf Facebook zu finden. Auf Wiederhören sagt Jürgen Planck. C3 Radio aus dem Zentrum für internationale Entwicklung. Mit den Organisationen Baobab, Frauensolidarität, Mattersburger Kreis, ÖFSE und Paulo Freire Zentrum. Weitere Informationen und Podcast auf www.zentrum3.at.